From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is Cool Science Radio.
Science and technology that's accessible and entertaining.
If we can understand it, you can understand it.
I'm Lynn Ware Peake.
And I'm John Wells.
Our next guest is a dentist and past president of the American Academy of Dental Sleep Medicine, Dr. Nancy Addy. Dr. Addy exclusively practices dental sleep medicine, and she's going to talk to us about the science of sleep apnea and how some oral devices, and a new acronym for us, OAT, oral appliance therapy, can help us, can help apnea sufferers to chart a new direction. And Dr. Addy, welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Oh, thank you. I'm just absolutely delighted anytime I have the opportunity to talk about what I love, obstructive sleep apnea, snoring, and oral appliance therapy. I love it.
Well, I do too. I have sleep apnea that probably triggered my AFib and, you know, all these different things.
Uh-huh.
And it's something I wish I didn't have. I've got a big clunky machine, and I'm traveling today.
Yeah.
I'm jumping on an airplane, so I've got to carry that thing with me. And I would love to find a mouth device that can get me away from this technology, if possible. So maybe you can start by describing for us what apnea is and how the CPAP and the appliance helps to relieve that.
Okay. Obstructive sleep apnea is a pause in breathing during the night. And there are certain criteria for people to use when it happens. And they have to, sorry about that. They're diagnosed by a dental sleep medicine physician. And then once they have been diagnosed with obstructive sleep apnea, they are generally referred to for a CPAP machine, which is what most people are familiar with. But most people aren't aware that there are options. And one, what dentists do, trained dentists, is an oral appliance. And in all cases, whether you use a CPAP machine or whether you use an oral appliance, both cases, we're keeping the airway open and keeping the tongue out of the airway. The tongue's the culprit in all of this. So a CPAP machine forces air through the back of the throat, pushing the tongue forward. An oral appliance is like a football guard, if you will, and it brings the lower jaw slightly forward to stabilize the airway so that the tongue doesn't close the airway off while you're sleeping at night.
And Dr. Addy, what percentage of CPAP users could successfully move to one of these appliances?
Well, let me put it this way. If you are a CPAP user, but you're not using your CPAP and it's sitting on the counter or in the closet, it's really not doing you any good at all. It's just like an oral appliance, too. You have to be willing to use it. So if a person has a CPAP and they're not using it, then we can treat them with an oral appliance. If a person has severe apnea, and apnea, lots of people don't realize this, are divided into stages. 0 to 5 events per hour, that's normal. We're all apneic beings. 6 to 15 is considered mild, 16 to 30 is moderate, and anything over 30 is considered severe. So when a person has severe apnea, which is over 30 events per hour, they generally try to put them in a CPAP. But if you can't tolerate that CPAP, an oral appliance may get you down to 5 events without having to use a CPAP. And compliance rate for oral appliances is, in my office, close to 95-98%.
Wow, that's fascinating.
So
it is.
Oh, excuse me. Obviously, we need to, you know, compliance is everything, right? And the CPAP machines, mm-hmm. I've never actually seen one, but I understand from, you know, friends of mine who have them, like John mm-hmm. here, that, you know, they're huge. You can't take them camping. You know, it's hard. You know, what if you're single and you're mm-hmm. trying to establish a relationship with someone, you've got this CPAP, not very attractive. And so, compliance with CPAP is what percentage?
Is about 50%.
Okay.
And that's after a year. After a year, initially people tend to be pretty good with it, but then after about a year, they just give up for some of the exact reasons you just mentioned, Lynn. Mm-hmm. Either it's noisy, it's cumbersome, it's difficult to clean. They travel. They don't like to travel with it. You need to have distilled water to clean it. You need electricity, and that's another thing that's really an issue right now for areas where we're having fires, tornadoes, hurricanes, any of those things, and you don't have electricity, all of a sudden your CPAP is useless. An oral appliance, you don't need any of those things.
Dr. Eddy, I'm wondering why then the CPAP machine is sort of the default in terms of, I have a very close friend who went through the whole, you know, she knew she had some type of sleep apnea because she was exhausted all the time. She went to do the sleep study, which is no small task in and of itself. They sent her home with a CPAP machine. In order for her insurance to pay for anything beyond the CPAP machine, she had to prove, you know, she had the burden of proof that it wasn't working, which means that she had increased anxiety. She just had all of these awful byproducts from using the CPAP machine. Why is it the default?
Part of it's because that's what was known initially. CPAPs have been around since about 1981. Oral appliances have been around since about 1985. And initially, I do believe with the first oral appliances we had, there were some side effects, moving teeth, things like that. Nowadays, the side effects that people are used to hearing about really are so minor that it's a moot point now. But physicians still aren't really aware of oral appliance therapy. And I think that's the big thing. That's what the American Academy of Dental Sleep Medicine, that's what we're doing, is we're really working to educate physicians, to educate patients, to let them know that you do have an option. And please understand, CPAP are great for the person that wants to wear it. They are fantastic. And now with the recall, that's causing issues too, because people need something. But oral appliance therapy nowadays is a very, very viable option. They're comfortable, they're unobtrusive, they're easy to clean, easy to use, but you do want to make sure that you have them, have one made by a reputable dentist who is trained and has experience with putting these in.
If you're just joining us on Cool Science Radio, we're speaking to Dr. Nancy Eddy. She's a dentist and a past president of the American Academy of Dental Sleep Medicine. She specializes in all of this stuff that we're talking about. Let me ask you this. Do most sleep doctors receive a commission or some kind of financial bump for selling you a CPAP machine?
I couldn't really tell you that for sure, but a lot of the sleep labs and hospitals are connected to DME companies, and so that's what they're used to prescribing, is a DME. And when a person gets prescribed a CPAP, they're dealing then with a DME company who really doesn't have the close, intimate relationship with you that a dentist who's trained in dental sleep medicine would have. If you come into our office, you see the dentist, you see their assistant. If you have any issues, you see the dentist or you see their assistant. You get immediate help. That doesn't always happen with CPAP machines. You probably have heard lots of people say, gee, I'm going for my fourth mask, or this doesn't work, or that doesn't work, and I can't get help. And I think that's one of the frustrations for people. Whereas an oral appliance, and especially a custom oral appliance that's made by a trained dentist, nowadays the materials we have, they're smaller. With all appliances, you can open and close, you can talk, you can take a drink of water, you can take a pill, you can easily get up to go to the bathroom, you don't have to take anything off, you can travel with it. Nowadays, what we have, they're just wonderful.
Well, for any of our listeners, including me, who would like to take a look at if they can qualify for this, we need to first know how many events we have to go back to our most recent sleep study. We need to call our sleep doctor and say, how many events, non-breathing events, do I have in a minute or an hour?
Well, actually, what you really need to do, if anyone's interested in an oral appliance, all you have to do is call your physician and say, I would like to be referred to a dentist for an oral appliance consult. And then that way, the dentist's office gets your sleep test. We get all the information that we need so that when you come in, we are able to, we have a diagnosis of obstructive sleep apnea, and then we go through all of our thorough examination to see if you're a candidate for it. So anybody can do it. You don't have to go call your dentist or, excuse me, your physician and get those numbers. Just call and ask for a referral to a physician, excuse me, to a dentist who treats obstructive sleep apnea. And on the AADSM.org website, there, you put your zip code in, and it will bring up trained dentists in your area. And I just can't express how important it is to go to a trained, qualified dentist to have this done.
ABSM.org.
It's the American Academy of Dental Sleep Medicine.org. AADSM.org. When you go in there, there's a nice little green sign that says find a dentist, and you put your zip code in, and it will bring up dentists in your area who are trained.
Dr. Addy, you know, it's kind of staggering to me to think that there's such a disconnect between a sleep, you know, a physician who specializes in sleep disorders and a dentist who specializes in sleep disorders. What is it territorial? What is it?
Well, actually, when you think about it, a physician is trained in the body. They look at how obstructive sleep apnea affects the whole body. However, a dentist looks at how they look at the oral cavity, because 99.9% of all obstructive sleep apnea occurs at the base of the throat with the tongue. And so that's what physicians aren't used to looking at that. And for a dentist, that's all we see. We're looking in the mouth all day long. And we can see you can almost tell a person has obstructive sleep apnea. For a female or a man, if you measure their neck, if a female's neck is 15 inches or a man's is 17 inches and their body mass index is over 30, it's diagnostic that they're going to have obstructive sleep apnea. If they come in for a hygiene appointment and they have high blood pressure, diabetes, metabolic syndrome, any of those things, pretty guaranteed they're going to have obstructive sleep apnea. And then when we start looking at a patient, when we're in the mouth, you can see scalloping on the tongue, people who clench and grind their teeth. These are all very, very strong indications that this person has obstructive sleep apnea. So dentists are looking at this from the mouth. Physicians are looking at it from, people will come in and say, I'm tired. My spouse says I'm snoring really loud. I have witnessed apneas where I'm waking up gasping for air at night. So we're looking at it from two different aspects, but it's all the same thing. Does that make sense?
It absolutely makes sense. Perfect sense. I can't wait to ask you this question.
I can't wait to hear it.
I got together.
Me too. I'm prepared.
I'm not.
I don't know about guys, you know, but when women get together, and I got together with a couple girlfriends over dinner and a glass of wine, and we started talking about, for some reason, one of the women had started taping her mouth shut at night.
Yep.
And I immediately came home and Googled it, you know, is this a thing? And it's funny, I don't think she was doing it for sleep apnea, though, and I can't remember what it was. I do remember what it was. Sorry. It was just that she wanted to get more sound sleep at night.
Yep.
And so I guess maybe directly relates to obstructive sleep apnea. But talk about this taping your mouth shut.
I have been taping my mouth for the last 4 years every single night. And when I first told my husband that I was going to try this, because like you, I had read about it, and I thought, okay, I've got to try this, because I never suggest anything to a patient that I haven't actually tried myself. So when I told my husband this, he went, yes! And I said, no, I'm only doing it at night. And he goes, well, what good's that going to do me? And so anyway, we got through that. But what happens is when you lay back at night, that mouth falls open a little bit, and mouth taping can help to keep the mouth closed. And as long as you're keeping the mouth closed, it's in a wee bit more of a forward position so that the tongue doesn't fall back down the airway. And nowadays, there are all kinds of tapes. There's a new one out on the market called MyoTape that's a really comfortable one to use. That's what I use every night now with an appliance. And you can talk with it still. And most of the mouth tapes that you use would go in a vertical or a horizontal piece across the mouth. And so it was really difficult to talk with that in there. But with the MyoTape, you can actually talk. And it works great, because sometimes the person will have an oral appliance and their spouse says, I hear you purring now. Or I hear you kind of making this little puffing sound. And so if we put tape on that, or some of the appliances have elastic hooks on them. So we put little like orthodontic elastics on these hooks to once again keep the mouth closed. You didn't know I would have an answer to that one, did you?
Not such a great one.
Yeah, wow. So somebody told me that Park City has a higher percentage of people that suffer from these sorts of things because on average we live between 6,800 and 7,200 feet above sea level. We live at altitude. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Now that's something I'm not really well versed on. I know that one thing that affects people and across the country now is obesity. And that has more of an effect that I'm